Welcome back, everybody. I think I'm just going to dub this Weird Tuesday because the news is so weird and it just keeps on coming, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to start out coming back on this bottom half of this half hour with Ron Johnson's quote about cutting Medicaid. And Ron Johnson, you got to watch what he's saying really carefully because the man will word salad you. Like, this is the Ron Johnson tactic. And it'll sound real smart and like certain pieces of it will sound very reasonable. But you got to zoom out and then look at what the man actually just said when you strip away all the niceties and the fancy talk and the lingo. And it's usually pretty shocking. And in fact, just to wet our palates here, I do believe we have a little bit of a Ron Johnson saying crazy stuff montage to remind us all of who we're dealing with here. Let's take a listen.
By the way, standard gargle, mouthwash has been proven to kill the coronavirus. Even if you get it, you may reduce viral replication.
We're actually in a better position to prevent death by having the climate increase in temperature a little bit, right?
This is out of control. The problem is, Dan, is the American public likes benefits. They love checks, okay?
And my ranking member would always be bringing up white supremacy, which, you know, I condone. I mean, I condemn.
I was not involved in this at all.
I don't feel like my time here has been particularly successful.
Ladies and gentlemen, Senator Ron Johnson. Oh, by the way, didn't know that the drinking age in the state of Wisconsin is 21. Just another tidbit for all of you. Yeah, it's this guy. And let's zoom back out for a second. Remind ourselves, everybody loves checks. Ron, isn't that the whole premise of capitalism, that people love checks? Anyways, Ron Johnson's approach to every single benefit or program that was created after the Great Depression is to zero out its budget. Unemployment insurance, zero it out. Social Security, zero it out. Medicaid, Medicare, zero it out. Get rid of the labor regulations. Get rid of any taxation of capital gains entirely. And make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, Ron Johnson holds these positions not because they work well for you. Ron Johnson holds these positions, these beliefs, because they'll work well for him. He is a 100 millionaire plus. The guy has purchased jets and written them off as business expenses. He has multiple trusts set up for his various kids. This guy knows how to use the tax code to avoid paying his fair share. And his entire approach to everything that helps support middle-class workers, working families, and older folks and disabled folks and vets in this country, his approach is just zero out that budget item and make them, quote, prove up their budgets. He has said, and this was just, again, over the last day, that he wants to see Congress cutting Medicaid. And when asked if he was worried, as some of his colleagues are, even Josh Hawley, remember Mr. Josh Hawley, fist in the air on January 6th, and then ran like a kid to escape those people he was encouraging before the congressional session got in line. Even Josh Hawley thinks these cuts are bad. Ron Johnson said this when asked if he should be concerned, like some of his colleagues are, that cutting Medicaid in this way would be bad for their electoral prospects in 2026. Ron Johnson just said this, quote, they ought to think about the country first and how this level of spending is completely unsustainable. You know what's unsustainable, Mr. Johnson? Trillions of dollars in tax cuts to billionaires and 100 millionaires like yourself. That's what's unsustainable. I'm all for tax cuts for working people, for working families. Why are we taxing income at all if you make $40,000 or less? Right? Like, Let's look at that a little bit. You want to ensure Social Security will be funded? Scrap the cap. Start taxing people for the dollars made over, I forget what the cap is. It's like your 178,000th dollar doesn't have a Social Security tax applied to it. This is just enraging to me at a very fundamental level. Unacceptable from Senator Johnson. And he continues along this line. And here's why we know this is all a big money grab for the wealthiest among us and the 100 millionaire class that sits in many congressional seats, especially the Republican congressional seats on the Senate side. Because as they're debating the budget reconciliation bill, the budget, last week and now this week, members of the MAGA movement in Congress literally will not participate in debates at all. They are sitting in committees as amendments to the budget are being debated and introduced, and they say nothing. And ladies and gentlemen, boy, is it getting weird. This is Congressman Joe Neguse, who had introduced an amendment in the House Committee on Natural Resources today. Let's take a listen, because, yeah, it's awkward silence.
I never thought I would thank the chairman for opposing my amendment, but just being able to get him to say I oppose the amendment is a start. Mr. Stauber, do you oppose the amendment? You're going to vote on it in like 2 minutes. The country's going to know your position on it.
I remind members to address the remarks to the chair.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, does Mr. Stauber oppose the amendment? I'm directing the remarks towards you. Is that not?
I yield back to I yield to the ranking member. Sure.
I'm just wondering if the gentleman from Colorado can tell from this angle. Mr. Stauber's working his phone there. His thumb is very nimble. Do you think he's playing Candy Crush or Minesweeper?
I don't know. I again ask members to address the remarks to the chair.
Mr. Chairman, I will say it pains me. It pains me because, again, I have great respect for Mr. Stauber and for many of my friends on the other side of the aisle. And I have to imagine that they find this as absurd as I do. I mean, I don't. If we are left to, we're now in a position in which Republican colleagues are not allowed to say whether or not they support or oppose an amendment when they will be voting on that amendment a mere few minutes later. I don't think that's how craven this process has gotten. I don't understand, Mr. Chairman. How about this? I'll ask a question. Of course, I don't expect an answer, but. Was there a formal memo at all issued by Republican leadership in terms of how the hearing should proceed, of members being allowed to answer questions or not answer questions or say whether they support amendments or? Okay, well, you might consider. Oh, yeah? Okay, well, then I guess I'll just let the time wind down.
Wow.
Fascinating hearing. I've never seen it. Nothing quite like this. I yield back the 4 seconds of my time.
Gentleman yields back. Ms. Stansberry, you're recognized.
What?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
What is even happening? My head is perhaps levitating a wee bit off my shoulders. What if our standard for electing people was that they're like normies? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean this at a very basic level, that they'll, you know, explain their positions on amendments, that they'll participate in debates, that they'll very carefully explain to their constituents in town halls. Like, what if these were the things that we used as the litmus test? Forget all of the politics. You're going to show up at town halls. You're going to talk in plain language to your constituents. You're going to listen to what they have to say. You're going to participate in debates. When you are in your committee hearings, and you're gonna clearly explain why it is you would support cuts for Medicaid that go beyond, well, we should just zero out everything that helps support middle class and working families. It's just an absurdity. And the awkward silences are telling. This isn't normal. These aren't normies. Of course, they got a memo that said, don't say anything in any committee meeting, no matter how weird it gets, no matter how awkward, no matter how much you want to squirm around and play Minesweeper or whatever. Maybe it's Fortnite. I don't know. Not my thing. But the fact that we're hearing sound like this from the U.S. Congress, and it's not from the Congress writ large, it's from the MAGAs. And the reason that they will not engage in debate is because there is no defending the position that they're taking. Moreover, the position that they're taking can change from day to day because the infant in chief gets to change his mind whenever the wind blows in a different direction. Reciprocal tariffs today, but not tomorrow, right? We'll ramp China up to 145% tariffs, and we'll act like there's a deal in the offing when Chinese officials are saying we're not even in discussions. We'll say 90 deals in 90 days, and then a week later, we'll say no deals because we don't need to do any deals. We'll talk about trade as if we don't need to do it, even though the combined impact economic activity that this country experiences, both imports and exports from trade, is $5 trillion worth. We'll let Donald Trump say the most ridiculous, absurd things on planet Earth. We'll let our Secretary of Defense communicate on an unsecure signal chat. And we won't say literally a word in Congress about it. Not one word, not a syllable, not a breath. Because it is indefensible. When you don't know what your policy position is because it gets decided by someone differently every day, and when your policies are at base in impact unacceptable to your voters, what is left but your silence? And they're not silent because they're afraid of Donald Trump. They're silent because they're afraid of you, the good voters of Wisconsin, and the good voters all across the United States. It is truly shameful. And as if the weirdness couldn't get any weirder, Jacob, do we have the sound of Kristi Noem just moments ago? Oh my goodness. Kristi Noem, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. You know, the woman that dresses up like a firefighter and like a border security guard and wears a $50,000 watch. Yeah, a little awkward. Jacob, I think you're telling me it's a little long until we're, aha, yes, he is. Jacob and I are now mind-melding. So I'm going to set this up, and then we're going to take the sound because it is more breaking news on what I'm calling Weird Tuesday today, ladies and gentlemen, more breaking news. We're going to take that sound when we come back. Kristi Noem being interviewed, getting asked about due process and citizens getting deported. I would say it's unbelievable, but apparently nothing's unbelievable anymore, including debates where one side just remains silent for the entirety of the debate. Who knew? It's the modern MAGA party. We take a look and listen to Kristi Noem when we come back. My name is Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.